The Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and the words of verse 16 will form our text for this morning. Verse 16, we read, "My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies." When two people are very much in love, they just cannot help thinking about one another or talking about each other. And this is evident in this passage of Scripture which we have before us. Because here we read about two people who are deeply in love. Look at verses 4 and 5. Here the bride is speaking, and she says, "He that is the bridegroom, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love." There the bridegroom expresses his love for his bride. Now in verse 5, she says, "Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love." Now she expresses her love for him. Here we have the bride and her bridegroom, or the bride and her beloved. They are identified in this way as the bride and the bridegroom, or Christ and his church. When you read about the beloved in the Song of Solomon, you are reading about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the great beloved. He is our beloved. He is God's beloved Son. He is our beloved friend. He is our beloved Savior. He is indeed our beloved. And it is evident that the bride is in love with her beloved, because she does not stop thinking about him or talking about him. Read through the 8 chapters of the Song of Solomon, and you will find it is the bride primarily speaking about her beloved, expressing her love for him. Look at this chapter 2 that we have just read. Six times she uses the phrase, "my beloved." This isn't just any beloved. This isn't just any person. This isn't just any bridegroom. She is saying, "This is my beloved. He's mine." She says, "my beloved." She speaks about him, and she tells us how special he is to her. Look at verse 3. "As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons." As the apple tree would stand out above all the other trees of the wood, so the bride says, "My beloved stands out among the sons of men. He is special to me. To me there is no one like him. He stands out above everyone else." Remember when she was describing her beloved to the daughters of Jerusalem? You recall the language that she used in chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. The daughters of Jerusalem said to her, "What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us?" And then she begins. This is where she begins.
She begins by saying, "My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000." That was what she thought of her beloved. He's the chiefest among 10,000. There is no one like him. And she says, "He is mine." She was telling all, she was telling the daughters of Jerusalem just how special her beloved was to her. And dear hearer this morning, is that what Christ is to us? Can we honestly, with hand and heart this morning, say that the Lord Jesus Christ is special to me? Can we say this morning, the Lord bearing us witness, that the Lord Jesus is special to us, that to us there is no one like Him? Can we really say He is indeed the fairest of 10,000 to our souls? He's the lily of the valley. He is the bright and the morning star. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valley. He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. Can we say that? Is Christ special to you today? But she not only saw him as special, but she regarded him as her strength. Look at verse 6. For there in verse 6 of chapter 2, his left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. In other words, she's saying, my beloved is my strength. He holds me up. He embraces me. He gives me strength for each day. Remember what she said elsewhere, in chapter 8, verse 5, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? She was speaking about herself. And she says, look. Look how he brought me out of the wilderness. He is my strength. I come out of the wilderness leaning on my beloved. How often, dear Christian, this morning, has Christ been our strength? How often has He put His left hand under our head and left and held us up? How often, when we have felt like fainting, has His right hand embraced us? And those times we find ourselves in the wilderness of disappointment and despair and discouragement, has He brought us out of the wilderness by our leaning upon Him? He is our strength. He has been our strength since the day we met Him. He's been our strength from the day He saved us. And He'll always be our strength. He is our rock. He is our salvation. He is our all. He is our everything. He's special. And He is our strength. And then she spoke about her beloved in another way. Look at verse 8. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountain, skipping upon the hills. In verse 10, she says, my beloved spake and said unto me. Here, she rejoices when she recalls hearing the sweet voice of her beloved. She remembered and recalled and repeated His word. His word to her was precious. Here she's recalling His word. Here she is speaking about the word of her beloved, the word that He spoke to her. And once again, dear Christian, how precious is the voice of our beloved to us. How precious is the voice of Christ to us. Does it not fill us with joy when we hear His voice, when He speaks to us through His word? Do we not, like the bride, hear in the Song of Solomon, often recount what He said to us? The word that He spoke to us? My, how good it is to hear the voice of Christ. How good it is to hear the words of the Lord. And the bride rejoiced on hearing the word of her Lord. You notice also that He was her shelter. In verse 14, O my dove, thou art, and here is thee. Here's the beloved speaking now, and He is speaking to His bride, and He says, O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock. Christ is the rock. And here the bride was hiding in her beloved. He was as a rock to her. She was hiding in the clefts of the rock. Christ is the rock of our salvation. Christ is that rock in a weary land. And believer, how often have we gone and sheltered in the cleft of the rock, and the rock is Christ. How often have we hidden ourselves in Him from the storms of life? How often have we hidden ourselves in the wounds of Christ? Hidden ourselves there from the attacks of the devil, pleading the precious blood of Christ, hiding in Him. Just as Charles Wesley said, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past, safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. How good it is that we have the rock to run to, and we can hide in Christ till the storms of life be past. And the bride was able to say, my beloved is mine, the one who is my strength is mine, the one who is special is mine, the one who is my shelter, He is mine. Is one more thing to say, and that is in our text, my beloved is mine. He's special, He's my strength, He's my shelter, and I love to hear His voice. And best of all, she said, He is mine. And many of us this morning can say that. And many of us can say, Jesus Christ is mine. And many can say, Jesus Christ is my Savior. Jesus Christ is my strength. Jesus Christ is my stay. Jesus Christ is my shelter. Jesus Christ is my all. Jesus Christ is my everything. Many of us can say, Jesus Christ is mine. Here you have, first of all, the bride and her possession. My beloved is mine. That's her possession. Christ, her beloved, is her dearest possession. He is mine. She doesn't talk about anything else. Only her beloved. My beloved is mine. And in speaking of her beloved, each time she used the word beloved, when speaking about him, she was actually declaring her love for him. Every time she called him her beloved, she was really telling to one and all, saying to one and all, I love my beloved. Here you have her adoration for her beloved. For you to take the word beloved simply means loved. So whatever she said about him, she was saying he is loved. The one who is my strength, I love him. The one who is my shelter, I love him. The one who is my strength, my stay, my all, my everything, I love him. Do we love the Lord today? Can we sing that hymn with all of our hearts, not just merely words coming upon our lips, but words that come from deep inside our hearts? Can we say, my Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My blessed Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. And we say today that the Lord Jesus is our beloved. That he is the one whom we love. Notice her assurance. Her assurance about her beloved. Notice the bride speaks with great assurance when speaking about her beloved, for she says, my beloved is mine. So there's no doubt in her mind whatsoever that her beloved is hers. She didn't say, well, I'm not sure if he's mine or not. Neither did she say, well, he used to be mine. Or he was mine. No, she says, my beloved is mine. He is mine right now. She didn't say, well, I hope he's mine. How often have we heard that? When speaking to someone about their soul, and you ask, are you a Christian? Well, I hope so. Are you saved? Well, I hope so. Are you ready for heaven? Well, I hope so. Oh, we need more than that. We need more than a hope so. We need assurance. We need to be able to say, my beloved is mine. Can we say that today? Can we say with great assurance, my beloved is mine? Maybe you've lost that assurance. Many professing believers lack assurance. They don't know whether they're saved or not. They don't have that assurance. sometimes they lose their assurance because of sin, because of slackness, because they're not following the Lord the way they used to, not reading their Bible the way they used to, not living for the Lord the way they used to. And there's no assurance. And they say, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. Well, that would happen to be your case today. Well, that matter can be put right today in this place. Remember a young man coming to the manse number of years ago, and that was his problem. He made a profession of faith a number of years before, and he came in great distress of soul, and he said, I don't know. I don't know whether I'm saved or not. I don't know whether it was just a mere profession. I need that assurance that I'm saved. And I said to him, well, I don't know either what took place those years ago when you professed faith in Christ. I don't know whether it was a genuine work of conversion. But I know this. You can get assurance right now by giving your heart to Christ now. It's evident the Spirit of God was striving with him. And I says, ask the Lord into your heart now. Whatever took place those years ago, the Lord knows. But you ask Christ into your heart now. And he did. And I says, now write down this date in your Bible. And whenever the devil comes back and attacks you, and dares to come and tries to take away your assurance, you go back to that date. And that'll give you assurance. That and the Word of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. There's what'll give you assurance. I live for Christ. And some people lose their assurance because of sin, because of slackness, because they've got away from God, and they say, well, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. And you can come back to the Lord today, give your heart to Christ today, and you'll have that assurance. And you'll be able to say with the bride, my beloved is mine. He's my beloved and he's mine. There's something else we should note here. The bride said this at a time when her beloved was absent from her. Because what does the verse say? My beloved is mine and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. He was not with her at that time. She did not enjoy his physical presence just at that time. He had gone, as she says, to feed among the lilies. And so her beloved was absent. And how did she encourage herself when her beloved was absent from her? Why, she simply talked about him and thought about him and spoke about him and meditated upon him. In the absence of her beloved, she says, my beloved is mine, and I am his. Believer, that's something. That's an example we should all follow. Isn't that what David did? You remember when David and his men returned to the city of Ziklag, and they discovered the city burned to the ground, and their wives and their children taken by the enemy? And there David's men turned on him and were ready to stone him. What did David do? We're told in 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6 that David encouraged himself in the Lord. He thought about his Lord. And one of the loneliest hours in the life of David, when his own men were ready to turn against him and blame him for what had happened, there was only one person that David could turn to, and that was the Lord himself. And he encouraged himself in the Lord. And Job, you remember Job? Remember how Job lost every precious possession he had? He had to go out and dig 10 graves for his children. His barns were burned to the ground. His herds were all slain. He lost his health. He lost everything he had. His own wife said to him, "Curse God and die." What did Job do? He did what David did. He did what the bride did. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And with death, the signs and the results of death all around, what did Job say? Job said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." And my sons have died, and my daughters have died, and my cattle have died. And I feel as though I'm dying myself. This one thing I know that my Redeemer liveth. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And believer, when you feel alone, and you do not have the conscious presence of the Savior, strengthen yourself and encourage yourself in the Lord. And do what the bride did. "I know that my Beloved is mine, and I am His." Friends may forsake me. Family may forget me. I may lose all my worldly possessions, but this I know, my Beloved is mine. I'll never lose Him. I'll never lose Him. And praise the Lord, He'll never lose me. My Beloved is mine, and I am His. You have her Beloved and you have her blessings. To know her Beloved, to love Him, and to be able to say, "My Beloved is mine," was a great blessing to her. And dear hearer this morning, for any man to be able to say, for any woman to be able to say, "The Lord Jesus Christ is mine and I am His," is a great blessing. It's a blessing that money cannot buy. It is a blessing that cannot be earned. To be able to say, "The Lord Jesus Christ is mine." All the worldly person likes to boast of what they have, of worldly possessions. But I tell you this, if they cannot boast of possessing Christ, they have nothing. But when they come to die, they'll leave it all behind. And they'll go out into eternity as naked as the day they were born. But when you say, "I have Christ," you have everything. You have everything you need. You have everything that you want. You have everything that your soul desires when you that you're able to say, "I have Christ." You're able to say, "My Beloved is mine." What a blessing that is. But not only was the bride here saying, "My Beloved is mine," speaking of His person, But she was also speaking about all of his possessions. Everything the beloved had and owned was hers also. When Abraham sent his servant out to seek a bride for his son Isaac, before he left his master's house, Abraham told him that he had given everything into his hand. That is, everything Abraham owned and possessed, he gave it into the hand, as it were, of his servant. So that when he found a wife for Isaac, he was not only able to tell her about Isaac, but he was able to tell her about all that Isaac possessed. And he was not only presenting to her Isaac, but he was also presenting to her all that Isaac owned. And so it is with Jesus Christ. Believer, when we receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we not only received Him as a person, but we had access to everything that Christ possesses. Because everything that Christ has is ours. Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. We have all spiritual blessings and heavenly places. We have them in Christ. Innumerable blessings are ours because we're able to say Christ is mine. For with Him we can also say forgiveness is mine, pardon is mine, peace is mine, joy is mine, heaven is mine, a crown is mine, a robe is mine. All the riches of Christ belong to me because I'm able to say, my beloved is mine. All that He has is mine. Her beloved, her blessings, and her boast. Are these not the words of one who was boasting in her beloved? She is saying, my beloved is mine. I want everyone to know that my beloved is mine. Has she not already said that he is one among the sons of men? Has she not already said he's the fairest of 10,000? Has she not already seen him as the rose of Sharon? The altogether lovely one. When she had finished describing him there in chapter 5, it was as if she had exhausted her vocabulary. And all she could say was, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is him. And here she says again, my beloved is mine and I am his. She's rejoicing. She's boasting in her beloved. She's saying there's none like him. Believer, how often do we boast in Christ? How often do we tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the fairest of 10,000. He's the lily of the valley. He's my all in all. He is my life. He is my breath. He has every beat of my heart. Notice how she was focused on her beloved. You'll notice that in these words there is no one else mentioned here. Just the bride speaking about her beloved. She is completely taken up with him. She has eyes for no one else. No one else but her beloved. There's no one there in that verse. No one has come between the bride and her beloved. That's what the whole song is about. Just the two of them. The beloved taken up with his bride and the bride taken up with her beloved. Oh, that's the way it should be. You should be taken up with Christ. Have eyes for no one else but him. She would not allow anyone or anything else to come between her and her beloved. From this chapter we can see that everything she talked about, everything she talked about, involved her beloved. Her whole life revolved around him. She thought about him at night. She talked about him during the day. Look at chapter 3 and verse 1. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Look at verse 3. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? She thought about him at night. She talked about him during the day. Do you not envy this bride? Do you not envy this bride? Do you not wish your life was as focused on our beloved as hers was? So many things come between us. So many things distract us. There's so many things between us and our beloved. Yet the bride here was able to say, my beloved is mine, and I am his. Nobody else. Completely taken up with him. Interestingly, this is not the only time she used these words. Three times in the song, she repeats, my beloved is mine, and I am his. Here in chapter 2, verse 16. In chapter 6 and verse 3, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. And again, chapter 7 and verse 10, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. He loves me, and I love him. I love him, why? Because he first loved me. Christ first loved me. His desire is towards me. Now my desire is towards him. And you'll notice, wherever she went, she repeated these words. To the daughters of Jerusalem, she said, my beloved is mine and I am his. To the watchmen that went about the street, she said, my beloved is mine and I am his. To her friends, to her family, to her foes, the message was the same. My beloved is mine. She was focused on him. She was fervent about him. She told everybody about him. Oh, for this fervent. And she was faithful to him. Read through this song and you will discover that the bride only speaks lovingly about one person. That was her beloved. Let us be as fervent and focused and faithful to Christ as the bride was. We haven't time to continue the rest of the text, but we'll just finish with the words we find in Hosea. The prophecy of Hosea. We read there in chapter 3 and verse 3. And I said, the Lord here is speaking to his bride, he says, and I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. You're faithful to me. Don't play the harlot. I want you to be faithful to me, because I can assure you of this. I'll always be faithful to you. And in the spiritual sense, sometimes we play the harlot. We run after other things. We're unfaithful to our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. But he'll never fail us. He'll always be faithful to us. And we can testify to that today, every one of us who know him. Christ has been faithful. My beloved is mine, and I am his. Do you have the bride and her promise? I am his. Do you have her privilege? I am his. It is a great wonder. You look at the first part of the verse. My beloved is mine. That's a wonder. But is it not an even greater wonder when we're able to say, and I am his? Why would he want me? Why would he set his love on me? Why would he set his eyes on me? Why would his desire be towards me? Surely we stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love us, sinners, condemned, unclean. Are you able to say it today with great assurance? My beloved is mine. Christ is mine, and I am his. Not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity. Let's bow our heads in prayer.